How come I'm the one that starts us all the time? Greetings and salutations from the Agile Revolution.
This I was actually going to start it, but you just said you ate a cake that was very dry. I was just going to see if you could actually spit it out.
No, not really. It was like, oh.
We're back at Agile Australia.
2019, one of the breaks in a very noisy conference hall. People waiting for coffee. So, just seen two keynotes, Tony.
Oh, they're brilliant. Ali Wolf was really good, I thought. Yeah. A different take. I mean, those models are the same. And I get the same result.
What are you, Tony? Are you a sunlight, an ocean, a tree, or an earth?
None of the above.
Really?
I'm a shapeshifter. I did the quiz and I'm a shapeshifter.
There you go. But if you had to pick one of the quadrants, though, where would you... There were 13, 17 things in the quadrants. So, yeah, we'll throw a link up. But yeah, if you had to pick one of the four quadrants, you can't be a fence sitter, Tony.
Oh, well, I guess I'd be sunlight, wouldn't I, Greg?
Yeah, maybe. Sunlight or earth, maybe?
Yeah. It's a hut. I think that's why I'm a shapeshifter, because I tend to...
I'm definitely a tree. I recognise myself as a tree.
I would be interested, though, to see the results of a number of coaches that have been doing the coaching thing for a long time, because I wouldn't be surprised if they are actually one of those shape-shifting roles, because it's a skill that you learn as a coach, which I think is what Marty Kagan was relating to afterwards, is that you actually do tend to work out how to communicate with all the different capabilities, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and those models have been, you know, we've all done them.
Yeah, I'm a purple elephant, an E3, and now I'm in a tree observer. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then the second one, Marty Kagan, of course.
Yeah, we wait a long time to see him live, and that delivered on expectations.
It was, you know, the takeouts from it weren't you, but they were validating.
Yeah, and I think someone who spends that amount of time in Silicon Valley and gets to work with a lot of those you know, types of people, that's the key to that, I think.
It gives the validation to the things that, you know, have been said, or people have been thinking, you know, and I've got to say, kudos to anyone who can get up there and go tell everybody about the no asshole rule.
Yeah.
And get rid of them.
Yeah, well, it's key, right? It's that, you know, it's sort of built on that saying that trust was important, but character is super important. And yeah, you can kind of shift people around, but you know, you really can't change anyways. An asshole is an asshole.
That's it. And you know, if you don't get them out, then you're in trouble. You know, it's interesting. He was describing someone that I got to say, I had an instance in a company a while ago where that's exact role. Not that the person was an asshole, but that they're highly skilled, highly held opinions, not loosely coupled, right? And that's what he was talking about. And they were more damaging to everybody than that. So, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tony, want to take a bit of a wander?
Let's do the wander.
So again, 1,000 people, day two, main conference hall.
Yes.
Look at all the exhibitor booths. We were just standing at the Elaborate booth, Tony.
We were standing at the Elaborate. Ding, plug. I've done my job today.
What company was that, Tony?
Yeah, I think that was Elaborate.
The Elaborate booth, excellent.
For those of you that are not aware, I work for that company.
Yeah, we gave them a plug, as opposed to the other ones that are in other booths around us.
That's right.
So I can actually see Marty Kagan right there right now talking to somebody.
Yes, indeed. I think that might be Rachel.
That could be. All right, who else can we see? Well, I can see Sandy Mamoli.
Yeah, we have a rattled Sandy today.
Lots of people around. Let's wander.
Seems to be that everybody runs away when they see us with a microphone.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's just us. Could be just us. I tend to not even not have the microphone, and people just tend to run away.
Oh, that happens as well, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to see a pattern.
Oh.
Sharon Robson.
Look at that. See,
oh,
where'd
no,
you put the microphone?
I have been summoned.
You have been summoned. We couldn't let you walk
up. You did walk over, though.
I did. I couldn't ignore you guys. What's up?
Cup tea in your hand. Welcome to the Android Revolution podcast.
Oh, again. Hey, excellent.
Yeah. We get you on twice, which we like it. So what are you doing these days, Sharon? You were a high-flying executive at a large organisation in Australia and now gone out on your own?
I have. I've decided that I'd much rather drive my own future. Very exciting times for Tabcorp, where I was working, and I'm very, very impressed with what they're doing and how they're doing it. I just wanted to go in a different direction, and I really enjoy the connection that I had when I'm coaching people. So now I'm back into coaching and working with executive teams to help them explore the future.
So we've been enjoying at the conference. What sort of messages are you hearing here?
Oh, just loving that there's a focus on recognition that agility comes from the top down. And let's start looking at execs. Let's start looking at those senior leaders. I'm having a few conversations about how can we make a board agile, and I'm very excited to see that there's a session about that. So, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing. It's the agile at scale is not doing more of the mechanics. It's about the thinking and thought processes behind agile being applied throughout the whole organisation. So when we get that conversation happening more widely, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and I think, like, we were just talking about Marty Kagan. Right?
Yeah, it was great, yeah.
None of that was new. I just said that previously, but it's validation of the things that you, yourself, Craig, myself, we've had these conversations before, right?
Yeah.
And it's just saying, now's the time to make those changes, right?
And let's get it there, because I think now senior leaders and boards are recognising we've got to do this. We can't do it lip service, and it's not just an engineering thing. This is a holistic, everyone's in. As Ali said this morning, all in.
You've
got to go all in. If you're not going all in, waste of time.
So what are you, Sharon? Are you sunlight?
I am. I did it this morning, and totally out of context, I go, I'm a star. So, yes.
Well, we always do that.
Like, yes. So but I have a tendency to be a little bit too much of a bright star, so sometimes people need sunglasses. It was very, I found that really interesting.
Yeah, she was very good, wasn't she?
It was, yeah, it's a great model. And I've been reflecting on it throughout the day so far. It's only been half a day, but I've just sort of been thinking about the different leaders I've worked with and their different styles. And it's so powerful to be able to talk to people about it, or talk to people with that in mind.
So you're obviously a leader with some important duties when at your previous company.
Yeah.
What do you think made you an alpha in that organisation then? Because that was what she was talking about, is that the alpha
Well, as she said, it was all about the values, and I had a truly amazing team. I was blessed to work with them, and part of what Marty was talking about as well really resonated. I had an empowered team. We were all focusing on solving a similar problem, and that was, how do we convert this organization to agility? And we were trusted to be the SMEs around that. And one of the things that I always prided myself on was, if I'm going to be talking to people about agile, I better bloody well be agile. And I've got to show it, I've got to live it, I've got to walk it, I've got to do all of the things, but also all of the thinking. And that's why I think Ali's session this morning really resonated, because it's like, yeah, sometimes you've just got to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a lot of things to say, but I've also got an amazing team to help me say them. So that was good. But yeah, I think the key for me with my success has always been, it's not lip service, it's gut level, unbelievable DNA belief in what we're doing and knowing that it's right, but also not being dogmatic about any particular technique or approach. It's about, let's actually do what is agile, make the best fit for who we're working with. And that I really enjoy as well, because it is those problems that we've got to solve. Yeah.
We are on your own, so give a quick plug if you want to find you, Sharon.
Oh, great. Thank you. Enterprisingagility.com.au is where I'm at. Come and see us, and we'll help you explore the future together.
Excellent. And if you want any idea how agile she is, Sharon's a hand talker, right? Much like us. So she's got a cup of tea in one hand and an iPhone in the other. So what'd she do? She balanced the cup of tea on the iPhone. So she had her hand free to talk.
Years of practice.
And a high five, just a good measure.
Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you, Sharon.
See you later.
Sharon. All right. That's just the kind of people we have in the community here, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Lots of people running past the sessions are about to start.
So yeah.
And I was eyeing off some people who have now moved on. Down here. Let's walk this way, Tony, and walk and talk. See who else we come across.
Well, I think it's been a really connected conference. I am amazed at the amount of new adopters. I'm still like everywhere I turn. Talking to them, you know, oh, this is my first conference.
So how are we doing? Kathy, how are you doing? We won't talk to you again, but we'll just wave at you. Steve Lawrence, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Agile Revolution Podcast. Have you been to all the Agile Australias? Would that be you?
This is number 11, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't not seen you here, right?
Yeah. I'm always here. You're in the 11 club, so well done.
11 club, yeah.
What are you up to these days?
Oh, I've taken a new opportunity with National Australia Bank, see if we can actually start them to be more structured.
The four banks in this country, they're probably the ones that...
They've been trying for a long time. The foundations are there. They just need to put a strategy and set some goals and objectives, and they'll be sweet.
Do you think there's more an emphasis on agility for the Big Four now that they've gone through the whole Royal Commission and that situation?
I think they've identified a lot of problems. But I think if I look at some of the other Big Four, main driver for Agile is cost out, which I disagree with, using Agile as a mechanism to reduce headcount rather than as a mechanism to deliver greater value.
Yeah.
And it's a fundamental flaw in the thinking, but it's perpetrated by some big old consultancies.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, those things. I mean, when you do start to do a transformation, that obviously does require some reorganisation, and reorganisation does often require some letting go of talent. But the problem is that it gets tarnished with the same brush.
It does, and the reverse engineering. So my philosophy has always been follow the work through the system, and then you know where you're overweight in certain areas of the system, or you're doing the wrong work. But you can't go back the other way and just cut people and then think, "Oh, how do we get this work done?"
Yeah. And eventually what happens when you do that is you get to the end of it and then you go, now we don't have enough people.
Exactly. And then how do we actually cut back value? And then, and actually, I can see most of the drivers to maintain share price. But as you said, if you can't deliver the value, share price goes down anyway. Right. So it's a no-win game.
For me, it's a Trojan horse, right?
It is.
It's being handed to them by, as you said, some of these larger organisations.
Yeah. But I think it's a big opportunity for them. I think if the big banks just understand the fundamentals a lot more. And I think Marty Kagan's talk about product management was right on song.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
We were just talking right about on song.
Yeah, nothing new, but the message that I think a lot of people, particularly with the amount of new people to the community, we look at it and go, read that a few years ago, but we need to reinforce those messages. And even for us who've all three of us have been around all 11, it's still a good reinforcing message.
Yeah, totally is, and I think Agile's being dumbed down, which is the biggest concern. I think Marty sort of alluded to that as well. It's being dumbed down a lot rather than the core principles, deliver greater value to your customer faster and more efficiently. And it's being dumbed down as something you just...
It was actually his first comment that actually just resonated something with me, just thinking about a client, I mean a similar client to yours, where he just said, look, if you're not there delivering at maximum every 2 weeks, then you're not agile.
Yeah.
And that's a very simple comment, and that speaks to the manifesto. It speaks to all the other things. And if you think about the large organisations, having a team that delivers something to a showcase every 2 weeks is not enough.
But it's actually quite interesting. You see with the way the world's gone now and all this big word transformation, none of them are looking at the core engine room, their delivery teams.
No.
They're looking at the middle tier, solutionization layer and your program layer, but they're staying away from your actual core software delivery practices, your automated testing, bringing in AI, all of this stuff. They're not going near it.
And you just see that they're doing the pick and choose thing. Right? We're going to do this bit of the agile method, and we're choosing to do that, and we're actually leaving the bits that we should be taking with us.
Yeah.
Right? I agree with you.
I had a conversation with an exec in NAB the other day, and she was saying, we got X million dollars in the budget next year. I talked to her up and says, well, that concerns me because you're not addressing the real problem. And she goes, what? And I says, well, it doesn't matter whether you've got a 100-litre fuel tank, a 50-litre fuel tank, or a 20-litre fuel tank, we've still only got the one engine. And her response was, well, maybe we need another engine. And I said, well, how do you get the data to tell you that? And they're just not looking at it from a practical point of view. It's like, it's old style thinking. Give me money, I'll spend money.
And then how do you use that 20 litres you got left to then, you know, get to the next 100, right?
Exactly. That's
the, yeah, as opposed to I just don't have enough money and complain about it.
And I think that also, that's a poignant point that he made, is about the actual managers, right? The thing that we, and I can hear you're doing it as well, spending a lot of time talking to leaders and managers now, because they're just not in the ballpark. They've got the old thinking, and if they have got that agility underneath them, it's getting away from them.
Yep.
And then they try to wrap themselves around it, and they stifle it.
Yep. The thinking is more about, and it was really pertinent, and someone both know Katie Rowett put it in perspective for me, that she goes, every small step you make is a step forward, and you always got to hold on to that. And understanding those managers, their core driver and their goal is their bonus package and their pay package and everything else, like their whole family life and everything else is predicated on them achieving that. So they're not interested in change because you're putting their whole world at risk.
Yeah.
Which is so fundamentally clear, and it's like trying to do these big transformations until that part of it changes, nothing
well,
really.
That's the thing. Like that's why Google, you put up the Google, the Amazon, the big three, right? But they're successful because they started at grassroots, and every founder in that organization, in fact, every person comes through has a stake in that organization. You go to work for a large bank or insurance company, you're just another number in the cog, and even the managers are a cog to a certain extent. And for the CEOs, they just get this big, you stay for 3 years, we'll give you a bonus. It's that, I've got on this theory that it's that, it's either the longevity or the connectiveness that is the success. When you look at the organization's successful, that's always an underpinning.
It is, and they got to bring people in. It's interesting with Ali, her talk about, people attract like people and they want to work with people that are like. But you take ANZ, for example, Shane Elliott. If he brought every other person with his mindset and what he wanted to achieve, he'd be awesomely successful. But he can't. And that's why it's just stops and starts and they're not going to achieve their goals.
Yeah. Which would be interesting to see if he ever steps away. I think it'll be okay if someone steps up from below him.
Yep.
And that's kind of the hot tip, I guess, that sort of growing. If it's just another CEO from a sideways bank, then they'll just go backwards to where they were. And we've seen that in other large
organization that we may have had something to do with.
Yep.
That we've all had a party.
Can all retrench so quickly and all that good work. Yeah. And then all the quality people you got just leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the bell's ringing. We should let you get onto a session, Steve.
Cool.
Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers. Thank you, gentlemen.
Cheers. Yeah, good. Pleasure. All right. Well, that's the bell. So, Tony. Probably anyone left to say from Miss Agile Australia?
I think it is. It's the end. It's done and dusted and viva la revolution.
See you soon.
Cheers.